You know, from our text this morning, we learned that Egypt had problems. We've all gone and read about the 10 plagues, what happened to Egypt as a result of they would not submit to God and to God's will. We know that Egypt was filled with darkness, and as Steve read to us earlier, and it was they could not see in front of them. They could not leave their homes. But that very last phrase of what he talked about is really what I want to talk about this morning. It says that the children of Israel had light in their dwelling. And you know, that tells me several things. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about that light that God gives us in a dark world. You know, Jesus told us that we are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Let your light shine. We have a light within us that we can shine so that everyone around us can see our Christianity. And even in the days of Egypt, when the ninth plague took place and the world in the Egyptian world became dark, God took care of His own people. The children of Israel had light. They were able to function. They were able to move about. They were able to continue their lives. God allowed them not to be harmed by the darkness of Egypt. And I want to suggest to you this morning, my friends, God gives us light. He gives us wonderful light. We find ourselves today in a situation that we were not prepared to be in. We were totally caught off guard by this COVID-19 pandemic. And it's a very rare situation. It's not the first time that the earth has had to deal with something like this. But it's the first time that we have had to deal with something like this. And maybe as this thing continues, we will gain a better understanding of it. You know, we understand it today much better than we understood it when it started. Pat and I understand it much better today than we did 2 weeks ago. It's a learning process. We have to learn to deal with something that we can't stop, something that we can't control. But we also need to understand that God is going to give us light in our dwelling. God is going to help us through any kind of problem that we have to deal with. And another thing we need to know is that we're not exempted from this. No one is exempted from this. But we do have the presence of God in our lives. We have that light, that even as God gave to the Israelites when darkness hit Egypt. So that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about that light. You know, today we find ourselves not just suffering from the physical issues of life. We also may find ourselves suffering from the spiritual issues of life. You know, we talked about this morning in Bible class, Jesus went 40 days without food. And Satan tempted him with the physicality of no food. And we do everything daily that we can to keep from starving physically, so we see to it that we're able to have food. But yet so many times we fail to provide for ourselves or provide what God, or to take what God provides for us in the way of spiritual food. We find many attempts to alleviate physical hunger, but we really disregard the spiritual hunger that we may have as mortal people. In Exodus chapter 9, we see another one of God's plagues on Egypt in verse 18 through 21. And I want us to read this together. This gives us an element of what we can do to help ourselves. "Behold, about this time tomorrow, I will cause a very heavy hail to fall, such as never has been seen in Egypt from the day it was founded until now. Now therefore, send, get your livestock and all that you have in the field into safe shelter, for every man and beast that is in the field and is not brought home will die when the hail falls on them. Then whoever feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh, they hurried his slaves and his livestock into the houses. But whoever did not pay attention to the word of the Lord left his slaves and his livestock in the field. Now here we have the impending plague of hail on Egypt. God is going to do something even for the people of Pharaoh. He is going to give them an opportunity to shelter their slaves and their animals. But then he gave the warning, if you don't, they will die in the storm. God is instructing the people to do what they can to preserve themselves from the coming plague. But you know, some of Pharaoh's servants, they disregarded the word of God, and they never obeyed. They refused to listen to what was being told to them for their own good. And it says that when the plague came, the field, the beasts, the servants, the crops, everything was destroyed and mangled with hail and fire. They disregarded the word of God. I don't have to tell you, my friends, we are bombarded every day. TV, radio, internet, news, left and right, about this pandemic, about other issues of life that are going on in our world today. And we find ourselves wanting to listen to everything that is being said because we need to be informed about these things. And we listen to our officials, we listen to our president, we listen to every news source, we even listen to social media, which is not really a good idea. But we want to find out all that we can to find out how it happened, why it happened, what it's doing, what it's going to do. And I have to tell you something, friend. It's not the president's fault that we have this pandemic. It's not the Democrats' fault. It's not the Republicans' fault. It's not even Nancy Pelosi's fault that we have this pandemic. It's not even China's fault, even though that's where the accident happened that started the whole thing. This is not the first time we've dealt with something like this, as a nation and as a globe. But we need to put away all of this stuff that we're listening to because they're all saying different things and listen to the word of the all-knowing, all-powerful God. So many people have given up on God because of COVID-19. So many people give up on God because their selection for president isn't what they wanted, and we'll find that happening Tuesday, you can bet. We need to stop listening to things like that and listen to God. God gives us light. God helps us to persevere. God helps us to continue. You know, the servants of Pharaoh who feared the word of God, you know what they did? They put their slaves and they put their animals in their barns. They protected them because they believed what God said was going to happen. And why wouldn't they believe it? It had already happened 8 times before. Why wouldn't they believe? You know, today we have people who don't listen to God. We have atheists who believe in the invisible virus, such as what we're going through now, but they do not believe in the invisible God. They don't believe in God. They won't believe in God's word. And I hate to say this, my friends, but we have Christians today who are not listening to God. And God has told them how you can escape sin, how you can escape many of the problems that you face every day, and no one will listen to it. And I have to tell you, friends, if you have failed to meditate on God's word, if you have failed to listen to God during the time of this pandemic, there's no better time to start. If you haven't been listening to God, you need to start listening to God because He can give you light. Our world is filled with darkness, and not just because of a virus, but because of the world itself. And we need to listen to God instead of listening to a few people tell us one thing, a few people tell us another thing. You know, I'm not going to talk political this morning, but we've got a Senate race in Georgia. Neither one of them men need to be in the building, because if they're as horrible as each other say they are, Neither one of them need to be elected. I mean, that's probably true for every official that's running this time. You can't listen to all that. You need to listen to God. And use godly judgment when you make decisions in life. God is light. His word is light. Another thing I want to talk about is the light of God's hope. You know, Christian, we have a hope, as the scripture says, that is steadfast and sure. Do you know what it means when something is steadfast and sure? It means that you can depend on it. It's going to be there. If it's something that works, it is always going to work. Now, I have to tell you, every one of us in this room today, we walked out of our house, we got into our car, we turned the key or we pushed the button, the car started up, we put it in gear, we came here. Everyone worked. There is someone in this room who someday is going to walk out of their house, get in their car, turn that key, and nothing's going to happen. Because that mechanical being is going to let you down. And it doesn't matter whether you drive a Ford or a Chevrolet or a Cadillac. It's going to happen. Because things that are man-made fail. And we can hope that it'll work. We probably, none of us got down in our car this morning and says, oh, I hope this thing starts. We probably, none of us did that. We was expecting it to start when we turned that key. But someday, that car's not going to start. Someday will never happen with God. God always works. God's word is always true. God's promises are always true. And we can always depend on it. You know, some people anchor their hope on temporary things such as cars, houses. You ever have a roof to leak in your house? You know, when I tried out for this job, I came down here on Thanksgiving weekend. Some of you were here and remember me coming. When we came back in January, half of this roof had fallen and was sitting on the floor. I wasn't expecting to walk in and see something like that. Y'all wasn't expecting it to happen, but it happened just the same. Why did it happen? Because somebody missed their mark when they was nailing up the roof. It wasn't constant. It's not a guarantee. Nothing that we do is a guarantee. But everything that God does is a guarantee. And we can place hope in that because we know it's always going to be. The psalmist David tells us, that they might set their hope on God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. And why do we do that? Because God will always come through. He will always be with us. Now, you know, I don't know the extent of COVID-19. I know we're not finished with it yet. It may never go away. But rest assured, COVID-19 can't take God from us. COVID-19 will not be able to change what God is doing for us and what He will do for us. We have that hope. We have the hope of His coming. Paul tells us in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. He is coming. I don't know when. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe next month. Maybe next year. Maybe a thousand lifetimes from now. I don't know. But I do know that He will come. And why wouldn't I believe that? Because everything else He has said that has happened has been exactly as He has said. Why will this not be either? We have hope in that. Our hope in Jesus is real. And COVID-19 won't stop it. The government won't stop it. All the military power in the world won't stop it. It's going to happen. We have hope of His coming. We have hope of resurrection. I love these words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. We're all going to be together someday. Those of us who love him, who have obeyed him, who have lived for him, we're going to be with him. We have that hope that we will come forth from the grave to be with the Father and his Son and the Holy Spirit in heaven for all eternity. You know, it's a sad thing to know that thousands of people are dying every day because of the coronavirus. And none of us are exempted from catching this. 2 weeks ago, when the doctor told Pat that she had tested positive, we didn't know what to expect. Everyone here knows Pat's a diabetic. Diabetics generally don't do well with COVID-19. We know that some people do very well with it. We know some people can't deal with it at all. So we really didn't know what to expect. But there was one thing we did know. We knew who was in control. We knew who was looking out for us. And we thanked him for that. And we prayed that he would continue to be with us through this. And he was. You know, we knew that he would never leave us. He said so himself. Hebrews 13:5. For he himself have said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And I can't tell you this morning if we're all going to survive this disease. I don't know. But there is one thing that I can tell you. If we fail to survive here, we can survive in the hereafter. Because God has promised us that we can. God has promised us that we can be with him and that there will be no crying, there will be no pain, there will be no sickness, there will be no death. And I believe that because God said it. And I have hope in that. Paul tells us that we can rejoice in that hope. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, he said. Patient in tribulation, he said. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. And then over in Romans 8:24, Paul also tells us that we are saved by this hope that we have in God and in his Son. For we were saved in this hope, but not hope that is seen. We were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for what one does still hope for what he sees. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly await for it with perseverance. We have a hope. Now, God gives us a hope that we can rejoice in. Romans 15:13, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and all peace, knowing that you may abound in the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, we do indeed have a hope. Christians can rejoice even though the worst things happen to us here in this life, because we know that God can sustain us. Yeah, we have hope. Because God has given us light. Just like in Egypt, the Egyptians sat in the darkness and the Israelites sit in light. Because God took care of his people. And we have that kind of hope. As I prepared this lesson, and I did it last Tuesday, while I went through my day putting this lesson together, 455,503 souls got COVID-19 on Tuesday only. 69,650 were here in America on Tuesday only. Georgia went from a day before of 898 cases, almost doubled, 1,491 cases on Tuesday only. This thing is far from over. Some say it's just now getting a second wind. I don't know. I hope they're wrong in that. The only way, friends, that we can win this battle, the only way that we can win any battle, is through Jesus Christ. And that means that we're going to have to look beyond this life. COVID can take this mortal life away from us, and we can't stop it. But COVID cannot take away the life that God has promised us, that we hope for in eternity. We simply need to put our faith in Him. He will give us the ability to hope. He will give us that light. And He will help us to overcome even the most horrible thing that life can throw at us. Today, my friend, if you are not a Christian, you need to listen to God and not what everybody else is telling you. You need to come in faith, for without faith it is impossible to please Him. You need to repent of your sins, because except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. We must confess His name before men, because Jesus has said, "Whoever confesses Me before men, him will I also confess before My Father in heaven." And we must be baptized for the remission of our sins, just as Ananias told Saul of Tarsus, "Why are you waiting? Arise, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." And if you've done these things and you've lost the light that God has given you, you're not projecting that light as God has told you to do, take a look at your life. Reevaluate your life. You can get that light back. And you can have it again. You can come back to God. He will forgive you. He will give you your light back. And He can give you that hope. And you can be reassured again of that promise that He is going to give you. And He will stand with you. I want to tell you something, friends. Jesus Christ stood by Pat and me for the last 2 weeks in a way that He hasn't had to before. Because we faced something that was life-threatening. And we knew He was there. And He will stand by you. But you have to stand by Him. This morning, if you need to give your life to the Lord or give your life back to the Lord, please come now while we stand and sing.